Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends. Hey, thanks for tuning in again this week on your show, your program, Raising Expectations. And we're excited tonight. We're going to have a great discussion. We've got one of our favorite guys back with us tonight. You're going to enjoy as he shares again with you. And again, as you know, Raising Expectations is on like four platforms and a great radio TV station. So you can find us on YouTube and LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, live tonight. And of course, go right to our website, our station that we just love these guys, out of Houston, Texas, right there, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you can watch us right there and see what's going on. So thanks for being with us. We hope you had a great day. I hope some people get some cool weather tomorrow. It's been very, very hot. And we're just excited tonight. We're going to be talking about what we talked last week. We're going to be looking more about our children, what the nation's doing, what's happening today. They're after our children so many ways. That may sound strange, but it's really not. Just stop and decipher it. When you stop and think about your kids, and you stop and talk about your kids, and you stop and pray about your kids, great things happen. I opened my Bible this morning in my devotional time, and up popped a registration card when I was a young pastor years ago, and it was sent up to the pulpit for me, and that's back in the day when we sat on the platform, remember, guys? And my son sent a note up, and there it is from John Roger. He goes on the thing, he says, "Dad, please pray for my poison oak." That's an important thing to send to the pastor just before. So he said, "I love you, Dad." You love our kids. We're going to talk about them tonight and how precious they are to us with the teacher that we think is about one of the best teachers you'll find anywhere, because he preaches and teaches and loves and cares from his heart, walks with Christ, loves his wife and his family. She's coming on real quick here. You're going to see Chris again right now. But we're going to kick off this game real quick, coming to the West Coast, home of the Southern California Trojans. Not far from there. How am I doing there? But not far from there, you're going to find in Lompoc, California, Rocket Town, you're going to find Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired, actually, he's not retired. He's ministering everywhere now. He's a theologian. He's a pastor. He's a brother in Christ. He's been my friend for 50 years, 52 to be exact, but who's counting? But anyway, he's somebody who always has something great to share from God's word. And the experience bank. It's great to hear some of us old guys sometimes, because we got things in the experience bank that come back that are kind of interesting to see. Paul always has a gem because he is a gem. Thanks, brother, for being with us. Love you, man. And good all the way from the West Coast. That's right. So we're going to go to the East Coast now. Actually, the South. It's the East Coast, but it's south of the East.
Somewhere.
And it's somewhere down there. And we're going to get the Thayers. We have Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. Steph will be with us in just a bit. So Craig is with us. Dr. Craig Thayer, as you know, is a trauma surgeon. He's a great trauma surgeon. That's the kind of a surgeon. Oh, that's incredible. I still can't fathom it when somebody doesn't know what to do. They call Craig and say, "What do we do with this traumatic situation?" And he has to pray like he always does. "Lord, show me how to use these hands. Show me what to do to heal this person, to help this person." And he's a great trauma surgeon. He's also a great author. His book, Saved, is out. You'll find it on our website. There it is right there. And he speaks about finding God in the ordinary things of life. Sometimes I just think we look for all these things happening everywhere, all over. Sometimes you just take a big, deep breath and find out that God's at the other end of it, working in the ordinary things of your life in ways you can't believe. Tank's going to share some of those things. He used to be extremely introverted, not really, folks, but you're going to find out now in that book some great stories about him, and it might remind you of some of the great things you did and God was working in your life back in those days. So love you, Tank. We're sure glad you're here. And Steph will be with him, right? She's working VBS, right? Yeah. Great. It's great.
Vacation Bible study.
Fantastic.
Well, there's a rocket ship through the roof, literally. There's one panel missing in the roof where this rocket is sticking through.
Through the roof.
Thinking of Paul.
Hey, Paul, are you missing one?
I missed that one. That must have been a misfire from Lompoc, California. How's that?
And somehow ended up in Cleveland, Ohio. Tennessee, sorry.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, she'll be there in just a minute with us, and we're looking forward to tonight now. And as you know, we have with us Chris Morris. Mr. Chris Morris is he's a dad. He's a great father. He has a beautiful wife, two precious daughters, and this guy shines the love of the Lord Jesus, because every time he speaks and you feel it coming from his heart. When he talks about students, he just lights up for the way that God has taken him a step at a time to reach students through their hearts. I'm going to let him talk some more about that to you tonight, but we're here to talk about reclaiming our kids and understanding how to minister and save their lives in a generation he's going to share that's really tough. Yeah, it's tough. So, Chris, yes, Tank?
So we miss Central America. We got to go back to Central America.
I was wondering.
Yeah, well, see there? Right, get that one going again there. Here we go again.
You can't miss Central America. You know,
hold on a second. Yeah, Central America. That's right. Yeah,
hola.
Do you remember, Ron, last week I forgot how to say Central America. I couldn't forget. Move back to the West from this great Central America.
I'm used to it. It's okay.
Oh, my. Well, I'm going to hear about this one, guys. That's what's so much fun to be with these guys. Yeah, Ron Greer, Pastor Ron Greer, and Counselor Ron Greer, as you know, is one of our favorite pastors, if not the in the whole state of Texas. And he's from McKinney, Texas. So he will be sharing. He shares with Man in the Mirror. I like to say, every time I see that commercial where the pillow guy goes and they open the pillow and I say, honey, he's here. I always say, when I'm going to shave him, I say, I wonder if Ron's in the mirror. I'm going to find him there. And he'll say, hey, Jesus has a verse for you. Ron, love you, brother. He's one of our favorites. Wait till you see. We just share a great time together. Okay. And Ron, sorry, Ron. You can call me Fred once.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, let's go back to Chris now. I'm sorry. I was jumping into this thing real quick. Chris is from, where's that, Ron? Chattanooga, right? Right
there, Chris? It is.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. So we're going to bring on Chris, and we're not as good as Stephanie's this, but we're going to give you a round of applause. And I got it right this time. Let's bring on Chris. And Chris is the founder of Morris Model Education, Chris Morris. And Chris, we're so glad you're here tonight, and welcome. And welcome, Ron, so I can give him a double welcome, make him feel better. I'm getting old. Sometimes I forget things. That's why I need these other guys to go, hey.
Ron, I would like to personally welcome you for the lack of welcoming that Joe welcomed you with at the beginning of the class. I feel the need to be there for you, brother.
See, so, there's the heart
thank
of
you very
teacher.
Much, bro. Thank you very much.
Welcome. You matter, okay?
Yeah.
No matter how it feels. I just blame you.
Thanks, Chris. That was perfect. That was perfect.
Yeah, all there right. you go. I got you.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
I got you. So did you give me the floor? I'm not sure.
You got to take it away, Chris.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. So anyway, well, thanks for having me back, guys. You know, you guys are a good group. You feel like my friends I've known for years, even though, you know, we were still relatively getting to know each other, to be honest, but it's so comfortable. And so anyway, I just appreciate the opportunity to get a chance to speak again. You know, I think, Joe, we were talking a little bit earlier today about, you know, just some of the stuff that's going on in these times and trying to make the connection between, like, okay, you got this unprecedented time as far as Americans are concerned and you know, in recent times where it seems like we're up against it, right? We're like the David against Goliath. And you have all these, you know, these powerful people, corporations seem to be tied in, politicians seem to be tied in, and there's this overwhelming push, right? That honestly, it's like they're coming for our kids. And I don't know how else to say it. They're coming for all of us, in my opinion, but they're being almost ruthless, coming for the jugular towards our kids in so many ways. And if you don't see what's going on, you really got to pray to the Lord that he takes the scales off your eyes and wakes you up, because it's an all-out assault. And it's almost like at a soul level is the best way I know how to say it. You know, between COVID and them, you know, masking kids, separating kids, you know, you can't go to school. And, you know, almost like the isolation that I felt like was happening during that season. They you can't see loved ones if they're sick in the hospital. There's this, you know, this attack against almost our humanity. And they're coming at the weak, you know, the most vulnerable ones, being our children. And it's an all-out assault as far as I'm concerned. We got to wake up. And so I know last time y'all had me on the show about a week ago, right? And we were kind of making the connection between the recent, you know, success, the unprecedented success of the movie Sound of Freedom, and how that line of, you know, how do they word it? You know, basically, the children are not for sale, right? Children are not for sale. And if you haven't seen that movie, go see it. And I was just thinking about this before I came on. And feel free to jump in here, but I just felt the need to just say this again for the listeners out there, or maybe say it for the first time. This is spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Okay. I don't know how else to say it. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And I believe the truth sets people free. And so I'm not trying to defend it. I'm not trying to over argue my point. I just feel like I felt the burden to just say this. This whole thing we've been going through, especially the last 3-4 years, but really, for the last 7, probably, it's spiritual warfare on all fronts. You know, I was just talking to my sister, who, you know, maybe 3-4 years older than me. We have a lot of similarities in that our kids, you know, my oldest, my daughter, Eden, 7 years old. And she has my nephew, right? My sister's son is 7 years old. And so we love to get them together. But, you know, I was telling her how she needs to go see The Sound of Freedom. So just last week, they went to go see the film finally. I think it was like a 6:30 showing. And I don't know if you guys, have y'all heard about all this kind of shenanigans? It's almost like a conspiracy where it's almost like theaters are shutting down or people aren't able to, you know, watch the film. A lot of people are saying, well, they turned the AC off. I mean, just weird stuff, right? Or the power went out. Have y'all heard about that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, I found myself getting really irritated watching this guy. He runs a YouTube channel. He's like a Christian YouTuber, right? And I'm not trying to knock him in general, but he was making light of this being a conspiracy or there being anything to, you know, the fact that it seems like there's theater sabotage. Like, I've never heard of theater sabotage, guys. I just never heard of that. And it seems to continue to happen with one particular movie. Well, my sister text the family. We're pretty, you know, pretty close, so we'll do group text. And she talked about, he goes, you know, I think there's something to this. She sent an article about how there's been this theater sabotage, just things aren't working out. Well, guess what? She didn't get a chance to see the movie that night either. And she lives in Augusta, Georgia. It's not like she's out in this blue state or, you know, this area. She's out in, you know, Augusta, Georgia, and the power goes out about midway through the film, right when it's like the huge moment where they unveil this huge operation. And like, what is going on? Only in her, you know, only in that theater.
Yeah.
And so I hear people give comments about, oh, well, do you really, you know, is this QAnon? Is this conspiracy? Do you think they coordinated? And I'm here to tell people, it doesn't take human beings coordinating this stuff. Yes. Because the Bible says, yes. My Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of the truth. Did you hear what I just said? I just got chills when I said that. I didn't even realize how that connected till it just came out of my mouth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, okay, in the heavenly realms, okay, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of the truth. Well, what's the Sound of Freeman trying to give the world? The knowledge of the truth.
Right.
And so you're sitting there thinking, oh, gee, it sure seems kind of beyond coincidence, duh, that there seems to be all this sabotage going on and people aren't able to watch a movie. Why would the theater go against trying to sell tickets? And you know, like, this makes no sense. It's because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it's really, in a lot of practical senses, it's all about the children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how real can I get on this show? I wasn't planning on doing this, but now it's on. I felt like I got to say it. So I'm asking.
That's go for it.
Right, how raw YouTube can I get? Because I'm going to tell y'all YouTube, something true so that I've gone through. And yeah, if that makes people feel like, whoa, what up, then okay. Because, you know, you don't have to have me back on, I guess. But now I'm going there. So for me personally, what I do, I'm just taking orders, okay? The Lord starts speaking to me. He started in 2007 in my life. Mm-hmm. He spoke to me very clearly about who I was supposed to start walking out love, showing God's love for. And that was my wife, who we've been married 12 years and counting, got two beautiful girls now. But he told me, he just started speaking to me and revealing himself to me in 2007. And it hasn't stopped since. And I finally got smart enough to realize it's not going to stop. Why would I want God to stop talking to me, right? Well, as I start obeying God in the little that he's told me to be faithful to do, when he wants to, he'll drop little big picture macro ideas on me that I wasn't expecting, you know? And he'll tell me stuff about all kinds of stuff. And I don't say this in a braggadocious way. I'm telling you, if you surrender your life upon the altar and you ask the Holy Ghost, you ask the Father to just use me, speak to me, and give up your plan and say, you know what, you're God, you're better at being God than I am, and I'm going to let you be God of my life, and you lay your life down. If you get to that point, or maybe you've gone through something so hard, you realize you can't do it yourself. I've been there. It's amazing what God can do. And I'm not that smart. I'm not smart enough to say even what I've said thus far. It's all him. And I'm going to give him the glory because I've done it the other way around. And I'm tired of getting humbled, frankly. I'm going to just go ahead and give God the glory now. And I'm going to tell you something. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I have a friend, one of my best friends in the world. He's Joe. You and him would be best friends, probably. The more I get to know you, the more he has a background as a pastor, teacher, just like you. Y'all even sound the same. Got that California connection. The only difference is he's a 6-foot-tall Asian redneck.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about him? My buddy, and his name's Daryl, right? So 6-foot-tall Chinese Asian redneck. Now, he's not really a redneck. He says that, and he thinks it's funny. But he and I are like best friends. I don't know how he does it, but he's like my best friend. And also like my dad mentor, but also like my best friend. I don't know how he merges. Usually someone's one or the other, but he just, that's our relationship, right? So he starts sharing stuff with me that's weird ever since I knew him about 2010. You know, the world works a little differently than the way you think, Chris. You know, there's actually a few people who kind of set the agenda and there's this push for, you know, this globalism, right? There's this, right. He starts painting these, you know, sowing these seeds and sure enough, I would have dreams, visions. Something would happen within 3 days and God would tell me what he just said is true, even though at first I thought he was wackadoo, okay? So fast forward a few years back, he's been telling me for years about human trafficking being bad, about the pedophilia, right? This is before Sound of Freedom, before I knew a whole lot. He's been the one pushing me. He'd show me videos if I'm ready to talk about it. Like, you don't understand, Chris. They had these underground tunnels. You know, some people have called them dumb tunnels. I believe that that's real. I mean, you might disagree, but that's fine. But I've seen and searched the matter out, and God's kind of shown me some things as I finally was willing to do what the Sound of Freedom people are trying to get you to do, which is look at the problem, quit ignoring it and acting like it's not there. I might want to use you to deliver and bring, you know, set the captives free. You know, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a threshing instrument in his hand, a tool to go against the enemy. And we weenify out so badly that the world crumbles because we're not taking the authority that God gave us, that Jesus gave us on the cross. Okay. So why am I sharing all this? Well, he shared this one video with me after probably 2 years of trying to tell me how bad this is as far as human trafficking being a real issue. People who have rituals that they do. I mean, there's all kinds of different reasons why this exists, and it's not something that is made up. And I had a hard time accepting this. I had a very hard, it just, my paradigm didn't fit. I'm just like, that can't be, it can't be that bad. That just sounds ridiculous. Like, I just couldn't, I had the dissociative, I just couldn't do it, right? So, and tell me if, you know, this is too much. But he shared this one video with me one day. It was about 20 minutes. To this day, I have no idea where he got it from. But he was showing me a video of a guy that claimed to be a general that worked on a secret mission. He was explaining different areas in the country with specifics. It was like under Atlanta. There's another one here talking about like that. I'm not talking like a few hundred. I'm talking thousands of kids that these people are rescuing from underground in these secret areas, these hidden processes that are even in our country. And it was so detailed in his presentation and what he was saying, the numbers, where it was, when people were. And he would even describe it as spiritual. He would say Luciferians have this. He would call them Luciferians, the people who are doing these crazy things to kids. And then he would, you know, he might use terms like white hat or whatever. But that was the video that made me, it's like my faith needed to grow. Like, could this be true? I was like 10%, 90% doubt. 10% belief, 90% doubt. There's your math for you. Then I was like 20%, 80% doubt, believe. When I saw that video for the first time in my life, I got to 51% belief that maybe this is true. Mm-hmm. I still doubted 49%, but I believed it a little bit more than I doubted it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is sounding weird, you know, whatever, but I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah.
So when I finally get to a point of faith, this is just how I am. If I actually get convinced with evidence, no matter, you know, how I come to that conclusion that this is real and that this is something God's showing me, I'm like, well, why would God show me this unless he wanted me to at least pray? Because we have authority given to us by Jesus because of what he did on the cross. He took death, hell, and Hades, and we have authority, and we're God's policemen, and we're not doing our job, so evil doesn't get checked, even though legally it can't be doing a lot of the stuff that it's doing right now in the world and in our country. Does that make sense? Okay, so I prayed a simple prayer, shortest prayer ever. The most powerful prayers I've ever prayed in my life are usually three words. God help her. Yeah, it's usually short prayers in faith. That's the difference. I can go on and on and on, blah, blah, and the word vomit. And if I don't believe what I'm saying, it doesn't usually amount to much. But when I actually believe something and I say it in faith, there's something that happens. So I said, I saw the video and I believed it just enough. And I said, Lord, and this is all I could do. It took everything in my breath. I said, Lord, help the white hats get those kids out of those tunnels from human trafficking. It was something that simple. Just help them do that. That's all I did. And a lot of y'all listening might be like, well, Chris, you need to take action. You need to do something. Prayer is action. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of the truth. And if you don't think people are exalting themselves against the knowledge of the truth about the sign of freedom and about the horrible evil of human trafficking and how bad it is and what people are doing to kids, I mean, education, I mean, is part of that picture. If you don't want to look at it, then kids' lives are at stake. They're dying. They're abused. They're going to be affected forever. And you don't think the king is going to hold you to account one day and he asks you, why did you turn a deaf eye to that? You don't think that's going to be an issue? I have news for you. It's not going to be a good conversation.
Hmm.
And so I said the prayer, simple. I don't know why I prayed it when I went to night. I should not have watched that video when I went to sleep at night. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And I said, Lord, help the White House, the general, whoever's working behind the scenes, you know, because I'm not that guy. I'm the education guy. I'm not the military guy. Help them get those kids out of the tunnel. Went to sleep. And I prayed that prayer with fear and trembling because I was scared. I already knew. So something about me, that this could sound weird if you're not used to it or you're not from this kind of denominational faith background, but the Bible says very clearly that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our power in power. He empowers us to do the faith walk. And then sometimes he'll give you extra gifts, right? He'll give you it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, whether that, you know, people argue about it, but it could be tongues, prophecy, you name it. One of them is the discernment of spirits. And so this is something that actually operates through me that I don't think I've shared with you guys before, but it started happening when I was in my early 20s. And I actually didn't know about it. It started happening. I experienced like demonic on people. And then I was like, what in the world was that? You know, I'd freak out like, what in the world? It sounds like paranormal activity. And I call my older sister, who's wiser than I, and she'd be like, well, Chris, it's in the Bible. She'd share. I'd actually experience this faith thing and then go back and read it in the Bible and realize, oh, that's been around, you know, the whole time.
There it is.
So I'm sharing this with you to get to a point. I prayed that prayer, Lord, please, you know, expose, you know, help those people get the kids out of those tunnels, because I was convinced from the video that I thought there was some truth to it. And these demonic beings came into my room at night. It was probably like 2 to 3 a.m. ish, which is, there's reasons for that timing. But anyway, it's not the first time this happened with me. So to me, it's not as shocking to me as it might sound to someone who's never heard of anything like that. But you can almost sense, like for me, I can't ever see them, but you can sense the ranking and the spirit. Like they're big boys. These aren't just little mini foot soldiers. These are like higher ranking who have certain authority in the Dark Kingdom, principalities and powers. And you can, like when they come in, it's like life leaves. You can sense the, oh no, that's what it would be like Very without funny. God. Very it's funny. The first time you realize when God just takes his hand away, how bad and terrifying it is. It's not even that, just that is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And you could sense that it almost seemed like they were 15 feet tall. I don't know how tall they were, but like, it's like this weird, it's like you just get this sense, like these are big things. And they even, you know, one hit me one time, it would do, like they're trying to intimidate you. If that makes sense, almost like you're watching a Godfather movie and you're sniffing around, snooping into their operations too much. And so they send a guy to rough you up a little bit to intimidate you. This is kind of how it happens in the spirit. And so when those things came, I knew why they were there. I knew exactly why they were there. I'm like, well, what did I do differently than my normal routine? Oh, and I prayed a specific prayer about a certain operation the kingdom of darkness has. And so then the alarm bells went off and there was a little bit of a confrontation. But you don't have to be scared of that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But, you know, God put me through a few practice training rounds in the past. So that wasn't something that I overly freaked out about. Trust me, believe this. It used to freak me out for weeks. Okay? Yes.
So, Chris, it was either this morning or yesterday morning. I was reading that exact verse and I said, did you know that this is a gift, that there's discerning of spirits?
Because yeah,
a lot of churches focus on different gifts on the list.
Yeah.
And so just, I love how God.
Yeah. That, I knew something reality. Happened because I saw you look at your husband and nod or whatever.
No. It was like, you know, Mark 16:14 talks about eternal life in faith. But the last half of the paragraph is like, and you shall receive these gifts. The American church doesn't talk about that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So not a lot.
The other interesting point you went through is a sociological thing. We are about humanity. We're benevolent and we can't think negative about people. The example is like the guy that did the ultimate Ponzi scheme, and then the gymnastic and then later swim coaches that were molesting kids. I mean, the gymnastic coach was doing, okay, I'm a doc,
don't,
so I won't, okay.
I can't take him. It.
Anyway, so yeah. Bad things. And mom was in the room and could see that he was...
Not appropriate
mm-hmm. physiologically.
Yeah.
But didn't think anything about that because she couldn't think that just, you can't go there. Because right. We're benevolent thinking people.
Right.
And so like what you said, I can't imagine this happening in the world where they're taking these kids and doing what they're doing with them.
Right.
Because we can't. We don't want to think that. That's just out of our range. But somewhere along the way, we see reality and then we yeah.
We can't be.
Well, I think that's an interesting point because that's one of the things that we sort of focused on. Back in the day with the drug epidemic and the violent crime epidemic, was that it was difficult to get, because we wanted the number of churches, the number of volunteers involved and some of the rescue work and some of the other issues, right? And I think that was, I would say, probably one of the biggest obstacles for getting people to respond and to help. And it was primarily because, you know, we have this idea that, you know, that most people think well about other people because they have an assumption that most people are, you know, generally good people.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get folks to realize, understand, it's like, no, listen, the vast majority of people are naturally prone to sinfulness.
Yeah.
It, you know, God restrains it, but most people are. But it was an area where it's low crime and seemed to be, you know, no big deal. They're going, no, you need to let yourself realize and understand the depravity of man has no limit except which God restrains for a period of time.
That's right.
But as we go along, that it seems that restraint is moving further and further away.
Amen.
Because I think that's one of the biggest problems in the whole idea of the sex trafficking. And I haven't seen the movie yet because I wasn't excited about seeing the movie. And what has been puzzling to me is the number of people I see or talk to or hear from every single day. Have you seen the movie? Have you seen this movie? I cannot believe this is happening. And what I want to say is, how do you not know this is happening? How is it you don't believe this is happening? One quick story. So I told you I did a lot of time in Washington, more time than I want to remember. John Ashcroft was one of the officers I met with there. Because that was during a time when John Ashcroft was attorney general, and they were submitting a report, 2003 or 4, on child trafficking, sex trafficking. Now, this is 2004, right? I think Congress passed the act that same year. It's the Child Trafficking Protection Act, 2004, I believe, right? His report then said there were 600,000 to 800,000 human sex trafficking victims every year, right? You hear that? 50% of that 600,000 to 800,000 were children. Children. And in the United States alone, in 2004, 200,000 sex trafficked individuals in this country. We are how many years past that?
Right. Smartphones.
Right. It is a wickedness that most people won't allow themselves to hear, to see, or begin to wrap their minds around. And back then, it was primarily from Asia and some Southern Latin American countries. Now, there's no limit to it. No limit at all. One more story. So listening to a guy who's involved in this, I've met three different people in ministry who is the area of ministry, right? One friend in Green Bay and one friend here in Fort Worth. One is a former attorney who spoke at our church. Just in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl game and Davos and the World Series are some of the highest levels of prostitution, child sex victims during those periods of time. And the United States is the biggest customer, has the largest rate and a large amount of child sex trafficking and sex trafficking of anywhere in the world. And I will go with Dan. Dan's whole idea says the same thing. Americans don't want to see, don't want to hear, and don't want to know that this thing is going on. And I think a outside of this, part of that whole spiritual opposition to this movie and the other two movies that are coming out that they keep ignoring, Mel Gibson's documentary, and then there's one other guy. But part of that is that reaction to the movie, that reaction to by the media and politicians and alike to resist this at all costs, because there are people who don't want to know this is happening, but there are a lot of people who know it's happening. They don't want anybody, they don't want this thing out of the bag.
That's right.
Because the extent of it and the depths of it would shock anybody.
Sorry. You know, Ron, right there, that is so good. Jump in for a second, Chris. I think one of the things that they did in this movie, because it was the true story, was Tim Ballard and his wife. And I think that was a crack in the armor that blew off the side of that tank, right what Ron's talking about. When he discovered and he realized what was happening, you remember in the picture, and it was just brokenhearted, wiped out by this. And he wasn't walking around blessing people. He was your everyday American, like Ron's talking about. But all of a sudden, inside of his heart, God said, wait a minute, you know, and finally, when he saw how bad it was, his wife looked at him. He had to think of his children. Like Ron said, another reason I got my kids, I got my trouble. He was thinking about his own children. And when he got home to his wife and he discussed it, you remember in the movie, and he reached over and she looked at him and she said, with tears in her eyes, she said, go get them. In other words, she knew in her heart, she probably gonna lose her husband. She was willing to sacrifice her husband that this wrong would be right and this would be exposed and be open. Like Ron was saying, nobody wants to really do that. And I think in today's world, even now, there's more slavery, as we find out, in America than there was in the antebellum days. And the problem is, I think we're getting that woke, and what we're seeing in wokeism right now in the world, this is blowing a hole in this ship right now, because it's exposing, they want your children. Look what they're doing to God's creation, man and womankind. Look what they're doing to the whole balance of God's creation, what he's done. And I think people are waking up. And I think if you haven't seen that movie, that it just kills you at that point. And the end, when he gives a little speech, and you see those people. And for 5 years, this movie was sitting on a shelf. Right. Disney wanted to stop it. Netflix, Amazon, all of them said, stop it. Don't let it out. And they bought the rights so they could bury the film.
But you know, one other sidelight here. I'll leave that.
I gotta jump in before we run out of time. Okay.
No problem.
One thing is a couple of things. One is that goodness is constrained by its own nature. Evil is not constrained. Evil can do whatever evil desires to do. Chris, I'm so glad you brought things up like this, because these are topics we don't want to talk about. Not only the trafficking, but even a thing like your willingness to share with us that you have the gift of discerning spirits. I mean, there's just a lot of churches won't talk about that. You know, we want to go to church and feel good and go home and eat Sunday dinner. The other thing I want to share with you real quick, and not knowing that we were going to talk about the movie tonight, I found an article about Jim Caviezel today, who is the main actor of The Sound of Freedom. And let me give you two or three quotes that he said in this article that I read. He said, first of all, modern day Christianity has become so weak and useless. And he says, modern day Christians are more afraid of the devil than they are of God. God could destroy the devil without a glance, but he looks to us to make a decision. And he has caught all kinds of fire for that. I believe Jim Caviezel is a Catholic. I could be wrong, but
yeah, that's all
even that he would be talking about that. You know, God has graced us with the privilege and the responsibility to get in the fight. You know, I heard an analogy, and I'll stop with this. I heard an analogy that church is almost like a football game. There are 22 worn out people on the field and 22,000 in the stands that are cheering, you know. And if we could just grab hold of and not be afraid or ashamed of the giftedness that God has given to us. There are plenty of checks and balances that we can bump it off of people that we love and trust in the scripture. We know those kind of things, but to be bold enough to use the giftedness that God has given us and to call it out and to act on it. You won't be popular. You won't be popular, but the Bible is not a textbook on being popular. You know, and so those are things I wanted to share with you, because Caviezel and the left is aligning him with QAnon and all kinds of stuff. And he's saying, I don't know where you get that, but I think he makes a good point that in the eyes of the world, I do think that there's a point to be made that we are seen as weak and useless, you know, and we need to stand up.
Stephanie, did you have a thought?
We're
tolerant.
I was going to tell a completely different story, but now I'm going to be brave and bold. I actually have a good friend that her daughter was trafficked probably 15 to 20 years ago in Sacramento. That used to be the number one city. I have a friend that has developed a nonprofit that merged with another nonprofit, Three Strands Global, that actually put SB 14 forward, which was in California, the one that they declined. And then Newsom came in, you know, to run for president and made it all shiny. But I have had the wildest things happen in the last 2 years since we have moved here. Mm-hmm. And spiritual warfare, I don't like giving the enemy more credit than he deserves, but I don't know why you're talking about this today, Chris. But it aligns with the sexuality, the perversion that's happening. So I volunteered at an event within the last few months, and I watched a transgender child who is really a confused, not healthy child. And I watched this child manifest more and more each day. And I would get as close as I could to this kid and pray without being weird and then go about my day. I even told him. And the last evening, she completely manifested. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know what else to call it besides demonic. And in that moment, I realized that I was the most prepared, the most senior as a believer. And I thought, what do? I have never seen anything like this. Like, this is like an out of body experience. And all I kept going back to was saying Jesus and quoting scripture and knowing that I have authority in Christ. What does Jesus say constantly? What does he tell us he's giving us? What does he leave us with? And I think there are a lot of things that we cannot explain happening, and they are warnings and they are preparation. Because if we think for a moment that the enemy is not calculating and coming after our children and coming after our sexuality and the transgender, that's why I wanted to bring this up, is just another angle with the same end in mind, right? It's going after the children, it's destroying them at this young age. And it's also a warning to us. I kept thinking, gosh, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't have my Bible in my hand. I didn't have my phone on me. Like, what do I know in my memory? What do I know? What is my conversation and my relationship with the Lord? Because right now, that's the only thing that's going with me. And I'm calming down people that are upset and, you know, crazy little bit of a situation. And guess what happened, though? I went home and I started getting prepared. What do you do to get prepared for battle? Ephesians 6. You're putting on every single thing that you need. And we need to do that. And whether that's that we're called to pray, that we're called to go disciple in our community, that we're called to go rescue children, we have to stand up and we can't be checkmark Christians. We can't just say, hey, and we can't just scratch out things that make us uncomfortable in scripture, because that is the totality of the Lord's word. That is divinely, I don't know, you guys will say it better than me, you're pastors, but we are meant to know it in and out, because we don't know when we will be called to use it. So I just want everyone to hear that you need to know your word and you need to have a relationship with the Lord, because there are going to be things you can't explain in your life. And here's the weird thing. There were people that were very afraid in that situation. Yes. I was not afraid. I literally thought, what do I do? And if you know me, I hate the dark. Of course, it was the middle of the night. It was in the fourth watch, the third watch, the third watch, which is the bad watch. The fourth watch is the prayer watch. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Jesus always got up very, very early in the morning. That was the fourth watch. I learned most bad things happen in the third watch, which is between midnight and 3 a.m. in scripture. And I wasn't afraid. I am naturally a fearful person, you guys. That's because I spend my day regularly with the Lord.
Can I just encourage you, speak some life over you, Stephanie?
Yes.
Think about it and pray about it, but just know that you don't have to necessarily have all the memory. The Holy Spirit can give you the words when you need it and open up your mouth. And if it just gets apparent enough, you might just need to be like, come out in Jesus' name. I'll share this one thing with you. You know, I guess I didn't talk much about education here, but oh well, you know, we go with it. God has other plans.
It's and next so, level education.
Yeah. So like speak, you know, so I kind of have to shelve some of these experiences, because you're like, well, half the, you know, 99% of the population is not going to know what I'm talking about. And they're going to think I'm a weirdo. So I don't, but I feel like I can share it with you guys. So, I mean, just talking about how be open to, you know, if something happens that you don't understand at first, trust and seek and pray to the Lord. He can give you the right person to come across your path that'll clarify what something is when you're ready to hear it, give you scripture to let you know, okay, you're not crazy. This is biblical. I'll rewind back to 2007 or 8 when I was actually dating my wife at the time, very young. I was like 22, didn't know anything, didn't hardly know 80% of the scripture I know now. And I remember walking on the bridge. We have this very famous bridge in Chattanooga called the Walking Bridge. And I didn't see the person. I was looking at my, the girl I liked, you know, I wasn't looking at nothing. Okay. And so I'm just like, hey, baby, you know, so we're walking on the bridge. I'm not paying attention. And this person walks past me and I felt the demonic on this person. It was the first time it was that strong. I was like, whoa. And it was so twisted and sick. I literally, in my spirit and in my stomach almost, I felt queasy, like I wanted to vomit. Mm-hmm. And I could tell it was at the same moment this person passed. So I went, oh, it was so just sick and perverted. Like you could, it's almost like you could taste what it's like for God and or smell that aroma of sin and stink. It was weird, but I could feel it. And I looked to the left, and after I felt the feelings, then I look and I see the person. It was a transvestite man who had this spirit of perversion that twisted his image. That was a lie. I almost think that spirit actually partly mocks women, because especially when it works with men,
it does.
They're mocking women. It always likes to make fun of you and mock you.
It does.
So anyway, I turned to my left and I, after feeling it, then I saw it. So it was faith and then sight. And I told my wife, I said, that person's a transvestite. Like you could feel the demon on him. Like I just thought she must have felt it too. I remember she looked at me and she just goes, yeah, I don't have that. That's just how she talks, you know, real short to the point. I don't have that. But you know, it's good for you. You know, she just said it like it was normal. I'm like, oh, I had no clue what God had placed in me and was working in me. And I've seen him use that for my walk in very unique ways that's been beneficial. Like even when my wife and I have been arguing really badly for a week or two, and I was wondering what's going on. I had a dream actually, and God showed me the demonic principalities that, you know, the Bible says arguments, where do they come from? You know, those are demonic. And so he hates marriage. And so it's not just, oh, y'all had a disagreement. That's why you're fighting like teeth and nail over where the butter was placed on the counter. You know, like it doesn't make sense. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And when I started realizing that, and God would show me, and sometimes the demon would come out from behind this argument, like I would see it like come from in between us, and then like, ah, there it is. And so God would show me, like, next time you get in an argument, you need to stop, get away from, pray to me. Because this is what you're dealing with. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. So I just want to share it with people. That maybe kind of answers some questions, but give you the perspective. Like some of the conversations y'all are having are spiritual warfare.
Right.
A person's coming in talking to you real hot and you think it's them. You're not dealing with the person. You're not dealing with flesh and blood. You're dealing with what's the spirit behind that. And the spirit behind that, the alphabet mafia, I'll just call it that because that's what it is. The LG, it's the alphabet mafia. Shout out to Jason Whitlock's term. But the shout out, but the all that stuff, it's all coordinated with all the rest of the demonry to distort the image of God, so that people in a lost dying world can't find hope. It's meant to come after our children, because if they can get the children young, I mean, it just breaks my heart. I, you know, teaching online, I've had kids, depending on what part of the country, I'm already like, there's a 50-50 shot that they're going to be a woman identifying as a boy, and they're going to want me to call him Tom, and the girl's name's Alicia. Yeah. That happened all the time, and I'm just like, I'm not going to do it.
It's in the education. See, it's coming from all these different angles.
It's definitely an education. You know, they're putting books in, you know, what's this grown man who's trying to talk about topics that had no business going to my second grader? Are you kidding me? So your job as a parent is to not be ignorant. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And you need to be aware of the war that's going in and be intentional.
Absolutely.
My kids don't watch commercials. They know it. A commercial comes on, whether they're watching Bugs Bunny or whatever, we turn it off for a minute and 30 seconds till dad turns it back on, because the commercials, the enemy's like a roaring lion. And what happens is the enemy suggests something. He suggests an alternative of obviously what's not God's design. And all he needs is for you to agree with the lie. And then he gets the legal right to torment you. He gets the legal right to come after your children. So if you are not guarding their eyes are the gateway. If the eye's bad, the whole body is filled with darkness. If the eye is good, it's filled with light. You understand? So if that light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, what are you looking at? What are you letting your kids look at? You need to be their shepherd. You need to be the guardian. And so get them out of a toxic school that's bringing stuff before your kids' eyes, which is the light where the darkness of the light can come in. Come on.
Yes.
And you can be intentional, pull them out of the daggum school, homeschool them, hire someone like myself or somebody else. I don't care, but do what you need to do to get them what they need in a loving, hopefully sane environment. And if you could get someone who understands who the Lord is and understands what's going on, that's even better. You have that authority, and that's your call when you stand in the judgment, you know, at the judgment seat with the Lord one day. You're going to face him for how you did it. Don't just leave them to the wolves.
Hey, while you're mentioning that, two things. One is another conversation we had. If you look at Satan's techniques and his demonic moves, they actually never change. his if you remember, the first attack is on marriage, Adam and Eve, right? Same thing. Whisper is just the lies there, little lies here and there, waiting to buy in on the lie and then suck your way, right?
Yeah.
But then if you look at his next most vicious attack was against their children.
Right.
That's right.
You have a brother, kills his brother, right? And he has continued to do that. You attack marriage, and then you attack this whole thing of no-fault divorces and fatherless homes and supporting that to the government from this, you know, late 60s on, and then the family start breakdown. Then is people into the schools purposely, intentionally trying to reach kids. Kevin Jennings, 1984-85, came to Madison, Wisconsin. I was snuck into the event, and he gave them the strategy. If we spend our time focusing on kids, he's a homosexual activist, focusing on children, get partnership between the staff and teachers, then in 10 years, we won't have opposition because we will have indoctrinated and trained all the children. And no one would listen to that. Well, no one would listen to when we tried to tell them, right? I think, lastly, one of the things, neglected things that we do is like the Shema, right? It's interesting to me that it says, what's the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, right? In that passage, the very next thing he says, and teach them to your children.
Yes.
When you get up in the morning, when you go about your way, when you sit down, and when you go to bed at night, teach them to your children. If you're not teaching your children, if you're not protecting your children, you're not guarding your children from all this garbage, you are not loving God the way God has called you to.
That's right.
And I think, and I'm sorry, but the church has become, I have to agree with what you said earlier, right? One of our biggest problems is that we become blind and hobbled and ineffective and impotent. And primarily because we don't focus on marriage, we don't focus on children, and we don't focus on the satanic nature of the constant fight and war they're in, and train them, equip them to fight and be successful in it.
That's right. And you remember, that's it, Ron, and the church. Tank, were you saying something? I'm sorry.
I said amen.
Oh, amen, yes. And we need to remember, too, that we have the Lord and we have the Holy Spirit, and we are going to fail things in life. I know people who are divorced, boy, they'd give anything to be able to go back and say just what Ron said, just where it was. I wish it was just for that was the plan, but they can't. But they can get their life turned around and change their life inside out and do exactly what you're all saying. Yes. Spot on redemption to what the word says. And Stephanie, whoa. Bless you, sister. Wow, that's really something to stand in a group like that, huh, Chris? And to take that and, yeah, we've been down the boy. I'm thinking stories out my mind back with Sunshine on the Road and trips and what I run into hundreds of collegiates and, oh, my gosh. So sometimes he just gives you stuff you remember like that that comes up for a reason. But, Chris, if you're all listening tonight, I know you are, folks, here's your teacher you want to talk to right here. You want to go to the Morris Plan. You want to look that up, and you can get it off my face. You can get it off site, and you need to find out. Here's a man who does exactly what he's saying right here to help you. And we've just about run out of time again. Boy, that's a quick time, isn't it? Yeah, we got like 2 minutes. Wow. Stephanie is there. There she is.
Our dog was staring at me. That's when I get up, it's our dog.
I was ready to take over with a higher voice, but.
Okay. And we love you guys here at Raising Expectations. Thanks for hanging out with us. Chris, how do we connect with you? What's your website? What's your email?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. If my website's Morris, like my name, MORRIS, Morris Model, like a model, although that's not me, morrismodel.com. Ron's got the model down. Morrismodel.com. You can email me at morrismodeleducation@gmail.com if people want to connect with me really soon. But that's, yeah, there you go. Thank you. That's the website.
Aw, thanks, TJ.
Go to contact me, and then you can, fill out the form and, you know, get in touch. But, you know, we offer math services primarily, whether it's tutoring, special 10-week and 8-week challenges to help people get a foundation because, you know, COVID and those 3 years, those wrecked a lot of kids. Their motivation's down. You got some teachers that just don't, they're just teaching their schedule. They're not teaching the kid, and that's not right. Okay. If the kid's just suffocating and he's drowning and you're not in tune with that, and you don't know when to pause and when you need to speak live to them and bring it and say things in a way that they're going to get it, you're doing wrong by them. And it's not okay. And I used to be that guy. And I pray to the Lord that I'll never be that guy again, because I serve him. And, you know, if, trust me, it's weird. I mean, it's not weird if you think about it. But like, if I'm doing wrong by a kid, God will talk to me. It's gotten to that point where he's like, he'll convict me like, you're the problem, Chris. And I'm like, but he's defiant. His dad even said so.
He tells me the same thing. That's so weird.
Yeah.
So, okay. Real quick, I think we have like 30 seconds. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can find all the good information about us, books, past shows, upcoming shows.
That's a yellow thing up there.
QR code to donate. We are part of all the new technology. We just love and appreciate you guys being here, sharing our show, giving where you can. We just thank you for being a part of our family.
Amen. It's all there. You can find the different programs, but we're going to have Chris back. He's going to say yes, because we're going to pray him through it. But anyway, we're going to have him back. We're going to send a note to his wife if he doesn't. But anyway, we'll get him back soon. And Ron, I love you, brother. We're going to start in Texas next week. When we open the show. All right. And you can call me Fred. I tell you, I'm just getting old, bro. Love you, buddy. Thanks. And Stephanie, before you came back, Craig was just on highest. Great behavior, just a phenomenal the way he was before you came.
Just phenomenal.
How am I doing, Tank?
Yeah. Just phenomenal. Yes.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Circle. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
he didn't embarrass you.
All right, hey, we love you, Chris. Thanks. Give those kids and that wife guys a hug for us, and we'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for being part of Raising Expectations. I know yours had to be raised tonight. God bless you. Till we see you later. Bye bye.
Bless you guys.
Bye guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.